If insurance was sold in the grocery store, it'd be easier to compare. Sydney here is in the market for car insurance.
That's right.
So what do you think of these brands? State Farm, Geico, Progressive, and Allstate.
Honestly, they're all pretty much the same to me.
Well, they all give safe drivers a discount, but look at the Allstate shelf.
What's that? A coupon?
Even better. It's a check. Only Allstate rewards safe drivers with an extra bonus every 6 months you're accident-free.
Nice.
Call Allstate today, and you'll also get a lifetime membership in Good Hands Roadside Assistance absolutely free. Get 24/7 access and low flat rates on everything from tows to tire changes. For your free membership kit, just call a local agent or 888-ALLSTATE today.
Shop less, get more. Make one call to an Allstate agent.
Bonus check not available in every state. Feature is optional, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Nikki Nellis, we are not only are we Washington's only food and wine variety show, but we're the longest running food and wine variety show. So there we are. So we got a wild show today. We have pugilistics because Gina Trisavani.
SAT word too early in the morning.
Well, for you because you don't even know what that word means. But Gina Trisavani is the head mixtress at PS Sevens, and Owen Thompson is the lead bartender for Jose Andres Think Food Group. And
I know, but you're making this so boring. We'll get to that later.
We got a big throwdown coming because they're going to be battling it out at the upcoming Metropolitan Cooking
and
Entertaining Show.
They came gloves on. They are ready.
They came in dressed like Mike Tyson, which is kind of sexy. I like Gina like that.
I know.
All right.
And? I'm a smaller Mike Tyson. Okay, Rockville native Johnny Moe is in. He is the singing chef. He's brought his guitar, and he's brought good food, and I think some mimosas, too, which should be fun.
Yes.
And we have Founding Farmers in the house. They are going to be opening up in Potomac very soon, and they've got lots of buzzy things to tell us.
Oh, that's so...
And so witty.
Silly. And Mad Fox Brewery in Falls Church does a lot of things well, mostly having to do with its chef-driven seasonal menu with Russell Cunningham, a guy I know and like, and a list of frothy home brews. Bill Madden of Mad Fox is in. Bill, you guys just won 2 medals at the American Beer Festival. How does that feel?
Awesome.
Yay!
Freaking awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
What is your competition for something like that?
Almost 400 of the breweries were in competition. There were over 3,000 beers that were judged in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
And we managed to pull 2 medals, a gold medal for our Kolsch Keller beer, which we have some here.
Great.
And a bronze medal for our English Summer Ale.
So how much did you have to pay the judges exactly?
No, that's not how it works. And so tell us a little bit about the brewing.
The brewing as far as...
Like with the beers that won, like did you? How many beers did you submit into the competition?
We submitted 18 beers to the competition, and 17 different categories. So I'm still waiting for the judge results to see which beers actually went forward. But of the beers that we've got medals for, obviously we know that already.
Dude, the judges. I mean, when you see wine, pardon me. Sorry, audience. Sorry, everybody. When you see these kinds of competitions for wine, the judges taste and spit. Do the beer judges just drink it all? I mean,
I'm a beer judge also. I judge the.
So what do you do? I mean, do you just
how does it work?
We ingest it. We take it
good
into
boy.
Us.
All right.
Okay.
That's so you can get the full olfactory experience of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need to swallow to get the full experience.
I agree with that.
And
I
then
think that
is
makes
there
sense.
An ambulance on?
No, you're taking cab, very small samples. I mean. I'll judge 30 beers in a morning, but you're only taking a little bit of it in.
Sure. So now you brought a whole array of beers today. Tell us a little bit about the first one you're pouring for us.
Okay. Well, this is our Kolsch beer.
It's so light.
Yeah.
It's very pale in color.
Pass that over. you will. It's a German-style golden ale,
mm-hmm.
beer style that originates in the Cologne area of Germany.
Uh-huh.
We import the malt, mm-hmm. the hops, and even the yeast to make this beer.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's ours is actually the water.
Okay.
Salud.
Interesting.
Cheers.
Well, thank you. All right. Well, let's get our fighters up to the mic. Bill, I'm just going to ask you to step over for a sec.
Problem.
We have Gina Tresavani and Owen Thompson in.
Let's get ready to rumble. All right, so you guys are going to be duking it out in a real throwdown at the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show.
Be careful over there, please.
All right.
We have
it's
no insurance.
For years,
I know.
So we're going to take turns here. Gina, we are going to give you 3 minutes right now to tell us are you going to beat the hell out of Owen at the at the November 5th throwdown.
Okay, you got to speak in the mic.
Ready, set, kick it.
It's going to be pretty vicious.
Oh, you're done.
Oh. Okay, sorry. We're going to set the pace that the older person is actually going to be the winner.
Not the taller person.
Not the taller person, the older person. The person in pink boxing gloves. We have three rounds of the competition. So the first one is an old-fashioned. Second is a mystery ingredient, which we'll get on stage.
Uh-huh.
And then the third round is a fantasy cocktail, whatever we want. So that's really going to be interesting, considering both of us have an amazingly different style and yet really creative in different ways.
Well, today you're going to be mixing cocktails that
they're
supposedly...
They're just mixing one cocktail.
Right.
One
cocktail. I'm saying each.
How many...
We're having a competition.
Yeah, you know what the umbrella was, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What was the umbrella?
I don't know.
Okay.
do you know what the umbrella was?
Yeah.
He knows.
You
all
know?
Right, so your
umbrella?
Your competition today was to make a cocktail that both Foodie and the Beast would like.
And then we're going to pick the winner.
And then we're going to pick a winner. So, all right. Now, do you think Owen is real competition for you, Gina? Let's hear it.
Not really. Of course he is. He's the president of our guild. He's one of my dearest friends. And I honestly, I can't say enough kind things about him. I think he's extremely talented. And whoever wins is... You know, it's fine.
That's awfully nice.
Right, you're supposed to say, no, I'm looking forward to kicking his tush.
I mean, I am going to kick his tush, but okay. I just have to be nice and cordial before I do it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that what all fighters do in the press conference? It's going to be a fair fight, and I just really hope that both of us come out winning, and it's for the better good of everything else.
Okay. We'll go with that.
Oh, that's
all right.
So
have a
altruistic.
Seat.
That's not what I was thinking.
Back to the corner. Back
all
to
right.
the corner.
Owen, your turn comes up in a little bit.
Okay.
All right, so... for those of you who are longtime listeners of this show, you know that Founding Farmers has been advertising on it almost since the day we went on the air.
Uh-huh.
And that's, we love them so much.
I know, it's very special.
And we've got, and Founding Farmers has got some big new news, and we've got Dan Simons and Valerie Zweigen here to talk about it. Dan, let's start with you. Why don't you do 2 seconds on the Founding Farmers concept?
So Founding Farmers is a partnership with our restaurateurs and the North Dakota Farmers Union.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Potomac, we've added in some additional local investors, but it's a farm to table restaurant that's truly owned by farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And we take that not just to mean about the food that we do, but really the principles of farmers. So everything is crafted and everything is artisan, and it's more than just about the food or just about the drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's really sort of a holistic approach to the restaurant business, and that comes from our farmer owners.
Well, and let's talk about what you have down here in D.C. and how you're evolving it for the new one in Potomac. First of all, when is the new one in Potomac opening?
It opens Thursday, November 3rd.
Okay, so coming up.
Mark your calendars.
Are you ready? Is it ready?
I'm crazy excited.
Are you?
Crazy.
He has springs coming out of his head. You'll see that on the TV.
But is it as hard to open up a restaurant in Montgomery County as it is to open up a restaurant in D.C.?
You know, I'm scared to criticize Montgomery County because topic already
listening.
Came up once.
All
Look,
listening.
I love Montgomery County. It's the easiest business process I've ever had. There have been no hurdles, no challenges, and I'm pleased as punch.
Excellent.
And Ike Leggett is listening right now. That's right.
But what will be the differences between the two properties? I mean, how has it evolved?
It's a ton of differences, and it's barely an evolution. It's really more of a revolution.
Okay.
I think that when you walk into the restaurant, you'll you'll feel like, oh, it's kind of familiar. I've seen something like this before, but the woods are different. The materials are different. The menu is probably 50% different. The bar program that John Arroyo's done with our bar team is really different. So I think there's some familiarity, but like two siblings, you know, same DNA, but they can have different personalities and look different.
Nice analogy.
So John is doing the cocktails at both?
He is. He is, absolutely.
So what's he going to do? Is he going to run to one, to the other? Is he just training everybody?
John's doing all the training. I was there all day yesterday and late last night.
We should have brought John in, too. He could have, like, put up his
game. Yeah, that's what we need
today.
Is more booze today.
John's up for the throwdown.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we call it throw up if we...
Having more than one restaurant, I think, is difficult, and the key is to... you know, work a lot. And that's really the
magic.
Can
we get specific? You said 50% of the menu is going to be different. Like, what are we talking about?
We have this fabulous new oven, totally custom-built oven, custom-built on site there. And it gets up to, I actually saw it just over 1,100 degrees the other day. So we're still working with it. But so that's a piece of equipment that we don't have. So we've designed a whole section of the menu around it. And at that high temperature, when you're up between 800 and 1,000 degrees, the roasting, the charring, the flavor, little on the speed that you can cook with. So there'll be a lot more textures and foods in kind of the roasted category, vegetables and proteins coming out of that oven, but that's a big difference for us.
How does it create that heat? Is it wood fired? I mean, is it just gas?
We call it dual fuel.
Okay.
It's really gas driven though.
Okay, neat. That's so interesting. All right, well now we have Valerie here. We have to get her on mic because you guys are involved in a very sweet little project. So, Valerie, why don't you give everybody the 411 on it?
Continuing the trend, we kind of got a bee in our bonnet.
Love it.
How many more bee puns will there be?
I love it.
We've gotten them down
Didn't
pat.
Didn't we do a stinging rebuke?
Not yet. But so, you know, it's kind of an exciting movement, and we really love the idea of putting beehives in our neighborhood. So we partnered with George Washington University, which is, you know, across the street, and said, hey, let's do this together and put... Mm-hmm. six beehives on the roof of Bell Hall and Lisner Hall, which are connected and about a block and a half as the bee flies.
Right.
We started it last year, and going into the winter, we lost a couple hives, but we're going to rebuild and, I think it's the largest restaurant-owned urban apiary.
Now, why did you
country.
Lose hives? Is that the virus that's killing bees?
No, or? It's pretty, I think it's just standard, you know, as
they
things
fly.
Shake
well,
out.
It is a city, too.
And sometimes, you know.
Would that be different?
No, not necessarily. It's really politics, you know, it really has to do with if the brood takes to the queen and, you know, sometimes things don't work out, but
you
that was pretty normal.
I think in D.C. everybody would take to the queen, no?
One would think.
They should be bowing to the queen, exactly. That's what I think. So how did you guys get into it? I mean, who came up with the idea, and what do you hope to accomplish with it? I mean, we know that we need more bees, especially after that blight a couple of years ago. So what started it, and what are you looking to make it happen?
It kind of started because we talked about doing an urban garden, and when we started discussing that, I said, well, let's put bees on the garden as well, and then the bees kind of stuck. Mm-hmm. So the partnership with GW was great, not only because, you know, we're so close to them, but Dan went to GW. So we had sort of loved that community connection. Mm-hmm. And we love honey. I think one of our best dishes is our cornbread with the honey butter.
Sure.
So, you know, to do our own honey, it's really... truly a local operation, and so it just made a lot of sense for us.
So how'd you get an education on it? Because, I mean, you have to take classes to do this.
We do, and we work with the GW department, this bio department, and we have their beekeepers and their bee...
Neat.
So as much as I put on the suit every once in a while, they're really the ones that are...
I want pictures.
No pictures ever.
That is something I would tweet out.
It's pretty... Yeah, that's definitely not enough. But no, we work with them, and they're amazing, and they know how to do all of the beekeeping, and they're training us and teaching
us. So does all of the honey belong to founding farmers?
It does.
So you use it in all of your, you can use
was
it
there
in
a yield?
And...
We didn't get a yield this year. We decided not to push it.
Right.
Keep it for the bees. It keeps them stronger during the winter. Mm-hmm. We look to get a yield next year, and we're going to hopefully expand it even more, and so hopefully get even more honey.
Excellent. So. All right. Well, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to find more of the sweet details going on with founding farmers in Potomac. We're still in the middle of a throwdown. Owen is up next in that corner over there, and we've got some beer. We'll be back in just a sec.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Andy Smith, principal at the McLean Group, and he'll tell us all about the business valuation practice and M&A practice of his firm. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the D.C. metro area. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
What Facebook has done, they're transforming advertising. With Google click-through, you don't really know who's clicking through. But with Facebook, you can so specify who's looking at your ads that it's extremely targeted. That's why Google is so worried, because Facebook has created this closed ecosystem. They don't allow Google search into their little private kingdom. And Google is afraid that the Facebook community will become larger than Google's.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast. We've got Valerie Zweig and Dan Simons in talking about bees and founding farmers and all that stuff. Dan, I want to make sure we've got a couple of minutes left that everybody knows where the new Founding Farmers in Potomac is exactly.
We're right at the development called Park Potomac, which is essentially at Route 270 and Montrose, or Montrose and Seven Locks.
Right, on that corner where all those beautiful new houses are.
That's right. There's some beautiful townhouses.
And there's a great little boutique called Emily Grace. She's nice. Like, I love it.
There's a Harris Teeter there.
Leave it to Nikki to know where all the great little boutiques
There's
are.
There's just not that many in this city, so, you know, you gotta know what you know.
Welcome to my pain.
Oh, poor baby. Well, I want to talk about what we were talking about off air with the honey, because I think it was really interesting. One would think that city bees would have a harder time producing honey, but Valerie, you said that's absolutely not the case.
Well, I wouldn't say absolutely because, you know, you never know. But one thing that's really interesting is that the flowering season is longer. So oftentimes there's more for them to eat. And so they produce more honey on, you know, for the net in the long run.
And Dan, you were saying about pesticides in suburbia versus the city.
And this is one reason why the bee thing has become so important to us and we're so committed to it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to learn for the general public. And so one would think that suburban bees are healthier than urban bees, but the research that we're seeing, that we're learning from the researchers that we partner with at GW, the urban bees are healthier because they're not exposed to all of the suburban pesticides. Mm-hmm. And so it's just something that, you know, all those chemicals and pesticides you put on your lawn, it may make it look fabulous, but if you care about other things like bees and the environment, maybe you realize those things aren't so good.
Sure. No, I totally hear you on that.
And the Chesapeake and the water.
Right.
And,
no, it is important. And that's very interesting. I don't think people think that way. Now, when all you do get your yield of honey, are you hoping to bottle it and sell it? Will you just use it in the recipes? Is John going to be using it in his cocktails? I mean, what can we look forward to?
Yes to all of it. Okay. I think it really depends how much we net out and what we can do with it. I think we talked about the honey butter, but cocktails like a honey syrup could be great. We want to do, I think it's a honey mustard for the new grilled meat section at Park Potomac.
Mm-hmm. Dual heat, right?
Exactly. And really just everything. And then there is the idea of bottling it and potentially selling it. You know, with proceeds going back to GW, you know, continuing to draw in
there. Because you have a scholarship, right? There's a scholarship attached to this. Mm-hmm. So how does that work?
We actually, Founding Farmers funds two scholarships at GW. Mm-hmm. One that goes directly into the bee research department. Yeah. And another that goes to a business student studying sustainable hospitality.
Oh, I love that. Is that a whole Sustainable hospitality, is that a whole section?
They don't have an entire program for it, but they have some wonderful professors at GW that have really made it a focus. So they have a tourism and hospitality program, mm-hmm. and within it, there's a lot of sustainable classes and topics. And GW is, I think, really at the forefront of that. So it was a natural place for us to sort of walk our talk and try. See, for us founding farmers, of course, it's about the food and the drink and the great service and the value, but it's also about a lot more. You know, mm-hmm. the planet matters.
That's a lot right there. You said four things. I mean, that's a lot.
I know, but...
This guy wants his own show.
Well, go ahead, finish.
You know, there's a lot to the business, and this is the thing about, like, the whole farmer's principles, right? So doing a partnership with an educational organization, mm-hmm. The way we build the restaurants, Potomac's founding farmers will be LEED certified. Mm-hmm. And so there's, for us, I think, you know, the guest just wants it to be delicious and enjoy it. And that's what we want. But we do a lot of other things to kind of give them a holistic business.
But don't you think, not all your guests, I mean, there is a more educated consumer out there now. And there are a lot of people who know what LEED is, and they know what farm to table means. I mean, it's not just a buzzword, and they're committed to it, not just when they dine out, but when they dine at home. You know, I mean, I think it's not just a marketing ploy anymore. People are looking for it. And don't you find that your consumer is a little bit more educated?
I think so. And I think people really do care. I find especially moms care. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. a dad, and I think a lot of dads care, but moms care because they think about what they're feeding their kids,
sure.
what they're feeding themselves. And, you know, one way to avoid all of the, you know, toxic stuff in the industrial food supply is make food yourself. You know, we make our own mayonnaise. We make our own ketchup. Mm-hmm. You know, our bar program obviously is 100% from scratch. And mm-hmm. I think it is an educated consumer, and I think people really care. It's become more of an emotional issue as well, and people mm-hmm. realize it really matters.
Well, with Food Day coming up on Monday, which is, you know, so important, I think people are just looking for it. So thank you guys so much for coming in. Next time, when you come in, you have to come in with honey.
You bet.
We will.
And pollen.
I know. We're definitely, and the beeswax.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah. We want lots. I want lots of things.
Kids, we promise.
Okay?
Thanks.
All right.
All right. Well, I want to get back to Bill Madden real quick because,
yep.
Hey, Bill, here's something we were talking about. You know, the whole thing of craft brews and all that has really become, it's in now, and you're finding so much more. So how has, I don't know, the general landscape of the beer world and the brewing world changed even in the last 10 or 15 years, you know, from when people were making it at home and that basically that was, you know, that and Budweiser in the stores?
It's booming. It's a booming industry right now. We're mm-hmm. seeing growth rates nationally mm-hmm. where we're seeing more craft brew taking over the market. And we're
is
also
that exciting for you?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, because you've been doing this for how long now?
16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it started back in the early 90s. There was a big boom then. Then it kind of trailed off in the late 90s, and now it's booming all again.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to see brew pubs popping up all over the country. Breweries are building. We've got, four in this area alone.
Right.
Ourselves, we're the only brew pub that popped up.
Right. We've
got DC Brown in the district. We've mm-hmm. got Port City Brewing Company. We've got Chocolate City, Three Stars. I mean, we've got some great growth going here in DC as
well.
Well,
why don't you explain what Mad Fox is to people so they have a better understanding?
We're also, we're a full service restaurant as mm-hmm. well as a brewery. We've got a scratch kitchen. You know Russell Cunningham.
Yeah, Russell
yes,
Cunningham
I do.
Is
we've
a
got
chef. Sure.
Bakers that come in at 4 a.m. to make all of our breads. All of our
are those
pizza
ding-dongs? What is that over there?
Huh?
What are those?
She's looking at the food you brought.
The bacon, we've got chumpkins that were just made this morning.
Chumpkins?
That is a pumpkin pie inside a chocolate cake with chocolate ganache on it.
Stop it. Wait, say it again. Wait, what?
It's a pumpkin pie, fresh pumpkin made from Cinderella
not
pumpkins.
Not this. Uh-huh.
Cinderella pumpkins that we actually use in the pumpkin beer that you're going to try next.
Okay.
So we make a pumpkin pie, then put it inside a chocolate cake, then cover it with chocolate ganache.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Then what we also have
all these donuts.
We have chocolate donuts, glazed donuts, and then we also have
I think I just got diabetes.
A specialty.
Oh, my God.
of the restaurant. We do brunch on Sundays, which Russell is running right now,
mm-hmm.
and we've got a bacon-covered donut.
Oh,
well, that one. I missed that one.
Well, I'm going to have to get to that next.
I'll have to eat that next.
All right. Yeah. So what are you pouring next?
So, let's get to it. Here, if you wouldn't mind.
Bill, will you marry me?
Thank you.
No.
It's legal in the district.
I'll just let that one go.
Boy, Andy never talks, but when he does, he says something pithy.
So this is our pumpkinator.
Don't be so pithy.
We use 250 pounds of heirloom varietal pumpkins from local farms called Cinderella pumpkins. We
Are those
roast
the big, beautiful ones? What,
yeah, they're gorgeous.
On my face?
Absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. They're like starburst.
<Thank you. laughs>
And what I understand from the farmer that we get them from is that the deer go for this pumpkin first in the field.
Interesting.
Because it's the sweetest.
That's a really nice beer.
So we puree the pumpkins. We roast them in our pizza ovens. We puree the pumpkins. We add them to the mash when we're brewing. And then we use about 6 pounds of Penzi's pumpkin spices that we get from across the street in Falls Church. There's a Penzi's spice shop right across from us. And that's how we come up with this beer.
All right.
Been brewing it for many years.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, I wonder how you feel about this, because you don't really like flavored beers or seasonal beers that much.
I don't, but I like this.
This is really nice.
This isn't overpowering.
It's just a touch.
Yeah, no, it's really
subtle.
It's
not overpowering.
Great. All right, well, thank you.
You know what? It really would just taste more like kind of a Anchor Steamish amber than a
I think that's an insult.
Can
you see the little guy's eyes? He's like, Anchor Steam.
Anchor Steam is good beer.
That's great beer.
But the nice thing about this is it just has a touch of that flavor, and it's not overpowering. This is good.
And more like our Christmas beer, because that beer is really fantastic.
Yummers.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it coming on when Christmas rolls around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We do our Festivus then.
Owen.
Oh, Festivus.
Get out of the ring, Owen. Let's go, man.
All right, let's go.
Before we bring in Johnny Moe, let's get Owen up here. Come on, Owen Thompson is up
here.
He's
ready. He's ready for a fight.
He was over there elbowing Gina in the head.
Yeah. So, taking shots at her all day.
All right, Owen, it's your turn. Look her in the eye and tell her how you're going to kick her butt at this.
Cheap shots.
Literal?
Cheap shots.
Literal cheap shots?
Well, I mean, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, you know, I have nothing but nice things to say about Gina as well. We've been friends for a really long time. We're going to do this little cocktail throwdown. But I have to admit,
at the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show.
Food and Cooking Show. And then I have to admit, though, I've always kind of wanted to knock her out.
Knock her out. All right.
Yeah, you know. Anybody you've been friends with for this long, you want one free shot.
I've always said she was a knockout.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But I would imagine, I mean, listen, the two of you do a ton of events together, and you mix it up all over the place. There's no competition with you guys. Like, you guys are in competitions all the time, and everybody's shaking up cocktails. I mean, don't you want to beat her this time, or do you want to beat him? Do you care, really?
I mean, in all honesty, it's just fun. Like, you know, you get out of your normal, like, day-to-day, make some drinks for everybody, and we get to hang out together and work behind a bar. Usually, it's the only time that we get to work behind a bar together. So,
but isn't the prize a silver chalice or something like
that? What do you win?
It's pride.
But it is sibling rivalry. That is for sure. I mean, there's always that underlying.
So how's it gonna wait? How's it gonna break down at the cooking show though? You're gonna do three different drinks.
Uh-huh. So we're gonna do sort of a take on a classic first, which is gonna be an old fashioned.
Do people get to watch this? Like, how is it working?
Yeah.
Basically, we're gonna make our drinks each round on stage, and everyone in the audience will get a sample. So they'll get to try the drink while they watch us put
it
together.
What time is it?
What day
is it on?
They choose who it is.
Yeah.
But participation. It's audience participation.
Yeah, so they'll choose who we win.
How many people can go to this event?
100, I think.
Yeah. All right, we're going to tell them how to buy tickets. Relax over there, promoter.
Okay.
All right, well, while you guys are over there snuggling and punching.
You can start making your drinks.
Cool.
We're
going to turn to Johnny Moe, the singing chef. Johnny.
With guitar.
Johnny's the chef owner of two Mallets restaurants on the Eastern Shore in Virginia, right?
What's up, man?
Look at that.
Definitely.
I did my reading, man.
Wow.
About it.
So before you start singing and playing, tell us, give us a little 411 on Mallets.
Oh, man, we're a great little homegrown restaurant down on the Eastern Shore of Virginia. We've been there about 10 years now. It's a great little slice of heaven. We're surrounded by the Chesapeake Bay on one side, the Atlantic Ocean on the other side. My restaurant is right on the Chesapeake Bay.
Wow.
So, I mean, you look out the back window out of the kitchen when I'm cooking, and I can see bald eagles and seagulls and blue herons and all that cool stuff, and it's just very inspiring for doing what I do.
Well, and so how long have you been doing what you're doing?
I've been cooking for 20 years now, at least, you know, and that makes me sound really old when I say that, I think.
No, not to me.
But yeah, I grew up in the Rockville area. I grew up and went to Wheaton High School, went to a Votech school and at the Edison Career Center in Montgomery County. After I graduated high school, I went right to Johnson & Wales University in Norfolk, Virginia, the Virginia Beach campus. Graduated in 95 and just went from there in my career. You know?
Well, we heard about Johnny because he's got two cookbooks out. One is Rock the Kitchen and one is Rock the Party.
Yeah, man.
And we'll tell you how to find those later. But they each has a CD in the back with his music. So we're going to... Well, wait a minute. We're going to go to commercial in 1 minute.
All
so
right, all right.
I'm going to let Johnny play. You'll play us into the commercial. Is that cool?
Sounds like a plan.
Rock and roll.
Go ahead, Ed.
Let's see, yeah. This is a little song off my first CD from the first cookbook, but it's called I Want to Go Back. Me and my friends like to sit around and talk about the way the times have changed. We used to run the streets so wild, playing all kinds of crazy games. Stay out till the street lights came on, then run home as fast as you could. Cause mama been cooking some dinner all day, and you know it's gonna be good. Oh man, that's what it's all about, you know. Two passions, two loves, and one good time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I wanna go back to them days when I was just a little kid, didn't have nothing to worry about, yeah, yeah.
Get the business day started at Founding Farmers with a Farm Fresh breakfast and the perfect location for meetings of all types. Enjoy Farm Fresh eggs to order, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, our special waffles, a variety of side orders like thick-cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house-made jams and jellies. Put some power into your day with free Wi-Fi, Intelligentsia coffees, and fresh hand-squeezed juices. Located at 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Founding Farmers has breakfast ready from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekdays to help you get a jump start on the competition. See the menus and reserve today at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7777.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. Shh. No, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Summertime, baby!
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David, Nikki Nellis, and
we're
Johnny.
We're
Johnny Moe, the musical chef. I called him the singing chef, but he's singing and he's musical. So, all right, Johnny, before we talk about the food you brought in, you've got a band called Quad Pod, which is a hot band down there. And you guys are more than just a band. You're raising money for a good cause. So tell us about that.
We do. When I moved down to the Eastern Shore of Virginia, I became very affiliated with the food bank down there because being in a small area that we're at, I just see poverty on so much higher levels down there, and I saw it every day, where you kind of get sucked into it in the suburbs and whatnot. But so I got involved with the food bank, and when I made my band and we put it together, I said, you know what, let's give a portion of our CDs and a portion of our shows back to the food bank. And we raise a big concert every year called Music for the Hungry, which is an all-day-long event, and all the proceeds go to the food bank. We've raised over $40,000 for the local food bank.
That's
over the last
fantastic.
Five years.
Do you want to give out? I mean, you never know. Somebody might stroke a check. What's the URL for the food bank?
You know, I don't know the food bank's offhand, but you can just go to mallardsllc.com. That's our website, and there's links to it from there. So,
and if you can't spell Mallards, you're probably not smart enough to stroke a check.
That's right.
Don't bother.
That's awfully nice of you. Well, so let's talk about what you're doing at Mallards. I mean, being in that area in the Chesapeake must provide you with just such an incredible array of product.
It is.
How inspiring is it, and how does that affect your menu? That's,
the best thing about it is right next door to our restaurant is a fish house. Yeah. And I can see the boats when they're coming past my kitchen window when they're coming in. And I either, if they don't call me right away, I just run over there 100 yards away and say, what'd y'all get? What's hot? You know, if they got rockfish or they're catching speckled trout or whatever they're getting, that's on my menu that night. You know, it's coming in off the boat right in my doors. Mm-hmm. Also, there's several local farmers, organic farmers, and regular farmers that are regular customers. A lot of bartering goes on, you know. They'll bring over a bushel of eggplant or a bushel of squash, and they get lunch for free or whatever. You know, we work it all out. So it's a lot of fun way to live in a small town down there.
I bet. I bet that must be really exciting.
What do I get for a brick of Velveeta and some Wonder Bread? No? No?
We can work it out. Yeah. No, always, I haven't totally paid for a haircut in 5 years. He comes in for free lunch, I get a free haircut. So that not that it takes much to do, but
it's I don't think that's going to be on my list.
And so how do you use your music with your food? Like, let's talk about your books, because you do include your CDs in there. I mean, do you just think music and food, like, happy chefs make happy food? What do you think?
To me, it's, you know, even when you're cooking in the kitchen, there's always some kind of beat going on, you know, with the crackling in the pan, or you're tapping the tongs on something, you're tapping for the waitresses to come and pick up their food, whatever it may be, you know. The music is all around you all the time, and it's been a passion of mine just as long as cooking has. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it only common sense to put the two together.
You're kind of like the Jimmy Buffett of the Eastern Shore.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, and we just, you know, we do a lot of charity events, once again, not just for the food bank, but other stuff, but putting the book and the music together, once again, you put the CD in, you cook for 5 tracks. By the time the food's done cooking, you sit down, you got 5 tracks to listen to while you eat, you know, mm-hmm. Or drink or whatever you choose.
Well, and how did you decide what kind of items you picked for the recipes in the book? Because a lot of them seem great for parties.
Well, yeah, we're doing a series of books, basically. The next one I'm working on now is Johnny Mo Rocks the Grill, which will be all grilled
Anything
items.
That's called rock, though, would be for parties. I mean, these are not for funerals.
No. But,
unless
you know,
the funeral's a party.
It could be my funeral. That's right. My funeral, right, I'm all about a party. It's cool.
Yeah, no, don't tempt me.
Okay. I don't take it as a threat.
She is insured, ladies and gentlemen. Nice.
That'd be a heck of a party, right?
Right, exactly.
The first book was set up over basically a regular 5-course meal. You've got appetizer, soup, salad, entree, dessert. The second book was more geared towards catering, entertaining, partying, stuff like that. So it's just a, you know, hearty appetizers, dips and salsas, stuff like that. And it's just a fun read. And it's all, each recipe I like to put a full color picture with because I don't like cookbooks so much when you open it up and it just has a recipe and nothing to shoot for. You know, I like to have, okay, it's supposed to look something like this, and you can still get creative with it and make your own twist on it. But at least if you have a general direction to go in by seeing a picture and putting your eyes on it, we all eat with our eyes. We know that, you know, in a restaurant, anywhere you go, the first thing you're going to do is smell it, see it. You know, eating it, tasting it is one of the last things you do.
Well, while you were, what were you, you were cooking up something. While you were cooking up something in the kitchen.
Oh, the crab cakes.
Oh, was it the crab cakes? Yeah. We're all like, God, what is that?
So, new perfume, dude.
Right, we're going to eat soon.
All right, well, we're going to have to wrap up. Before
but
we do,
he has a bunch of stuff to tell us, so
well,
let
wait,
him do that.
I want to make sure we cut you loose. But before you go, people need to know how to find you on the web and where Mallard's two locations
I'm Johnny Mo, the musical chef, and you can see me at chefjohnnymo.com or at my restaurant's website, which is mallardsllc.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, all that good stuff. You just search me out. We're doing all kinds of stuff. Once again, this being where I'm from, I'm coming up here next weekend for the Read, Eat, Give over at Montgomery County Library. It's right down in downtown Rockville.
Yeah.
It's a great fundraiser for the library. Libraries are still around, even though we've got the internet and all that stuff. They're still out there, and they need all the help they can get. So I'm coming back to my old stomping grounds. I'm putting on a demo. I'm playing music. There's going to be food. Tickets are just $50 a person. Or wait. 75 a couple. So you save that $25.
But wait, all there's more.
There's always more.
And if you call now.
Operators are on duty. All right.
That's right.
Johnny, thanks very much.
Thank you so much
for coming
having
in. This was thanks
great.
For playing that music. That was awesome.
Fun
all
times.
Right, now we're going over to the pugilists. Look, Gina and Owen, there was a lot of smack talk, which is all blah, blah,
it was
blah.
Kind of nice smack talk.
I know, but let's.
Stop touching her.
All right. But now we got to get down to drinking. We challenge you to come in here and concoct drinks that both the foodie and the beast could like. So we're going to take a sip, and we're going to pick a winner, and whoever the loser is has to wash the dishes.
I think you're going to have to take the gloves off.
We know we have a new challenge. Okay. Who gets it to you without spilling it with the gloves on?
Okay, then whoever spills it has to clean it up. I just want to make it very clear.
Fine,
okay?
The gloves are coming off, Nikki.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, Jean, tell us a little bit about what you made us before you pass it.
So the drink is, it's actually a fall slushie.
Okay.
So it's pear, a little bit of marigold that was made into a granita. And then it was finished off with a little bit of rye, bourbon, a little bit of fresh lemon juice, and I just made it right now.
Right. So the whole thing is like a granita?
It's done. Like a slushie.
Like a slushie. Cool.
Like a slushie.
All right, Owen, what'd you do?
All right, well, what we did is, you know, obviously Gina was looking at my playbook last night trying to steal ideas. Because we actually both, ironically, because it's breakfast time, used butter in our drinks, I think.
So this
there's butter
is,
in your drink?
A little bit. I forgot the butter.
But you forgot the butter.
You don't even know what you're making.
You just gave her points.
There is butter.
She's punch drunk.
There is butter in my. Well, the idea of it was to make it look like pear butter.
It
so
does.
That's why it's in a mason jar. There is a little bit of butter in it.
All right, you're stealing Owen's mic time.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Owen.
That's what she does, man. See? That's why I want to knock her out. Yeah. So what we did here was we actually took, we're making our own apple cider, which I did this morning. And then we.
Wait, back up. How long does it take to make apple cider?
Oh, man, no problem. Get up late.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always think apple cider has to, like, sit for a while. No?
Yeah, you know, but we can. We got it going all the time. I just put this drink on the menu at one of our American restaurant, American Eats Tavern. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what they used to do, it's like an old apple toddy. They would like cut these apples in half, bake them with spices and butter, and then you'd mix that like a whole half of an apple with like hot water and whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we don't have stoves behind the bar, but we're simulating that flavor. So we're making the ciders, you know, doing it with all the spices they would have used. And then I'm actually putting the butter into the apple jack. So we're fat washing butter into the booze.
Can you explain? I don't understand how that works. I mean, just science-wise, like, because wouldn't the fat rise to the top of
the
drink?
Well, that's what it does. So we brown the butter. We pour it into the spirit. You let it hang out in there for like half hour to an hour just to sort of infuse the flavors. Then you're going to put it in the freezer, and it will, like, congeal at the top. So you skim off all the solids. But a lot of that, like, good old flavor is still left behind
in the
spirit.
All the good old fat. Oh, yeah. It's all in there.
All right, let's have a sip.
All right. Very cool.
While Owen's passing this out, let me make sure everybody knows the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show is coming to the Convention Center. It's Saturday, November 5th through Sunday the 6th from 10 to 7 on Saturday and 10 to 6 on Sunday. It's a steal. General admission is $24.50 in advance and $27 at the door. Kids get in for, what is it, $12.50. And, I mean, there's so much going on there. They're cooking demos and seminars and tastings.
Well, I mean, Paula Deen is good. I mean, we got the nationals coming in. Paula Deen, Giada De Laurentiis, Jacques.
Giada's going to be on the show next week.
Yeah, Giada's going to be on Hubba our show.
Hubba de Bubba.
We're not so bad. Cool.
Well, I am.
Well, okay. And it's just going to be great. There's going to be so much going on there because a lot of the locals are there. You guys are there. I know Scott Trudeau is there. Chefs from all over the area are doing cooking demos and talks. And it's just a great, great event for if you're a diehard.
Well, let me just finish because if people are interested, you go to metrocooking.com or you can call 703-321-4890. It's an awesome event. It really is. Oh, and stop trying to intimidate her. It's too late. Let's taste these drinks.
But you know what's really interesting about the drinks? I have to say, you guys, did you talk at all before...
No,
you came in
honestly,
because Gina made a cold drink and you made a hot drink.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's. I think that's really interesting that you both went in such different directions.
It is so great.
But the colors are the same though. Like it could be like a.
It's a good matchup.
Why don't you be quiet and sip?
Well, I probably sip. Them.
They're both good, I have to say, but I do have a winner.
They're both really, really good.
I'm ready.
No. We're gonna pull it out just a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to overtime here.
Mm-hmm.
15th round or whatever.
Oh, my God. All right.
You want to go first?
No, we're not going to do that yet. We're going to go back to Mad Fox. We don't have time for it. It's not break time yet, right? We have time. All right, Mad Fox Brewers, come on back.
All right. Well, then, hell, let's break into this bacon-covered
donut. I know. I've been looking at that the whole time.
Yes, Maura.
Okay. So...
Oh, it's gooey,
when we were
too.
Last talking to you, we were talking about the kind of food being served there. So when people come in to the restaurant... You know, do they see, like, the big vats of beer being brewed? Walk us through the restaurant a little bit.
Oh, as you come into our restaurant, immediately the first thing right at our entrance, you've got the host stand, and right behind it, you've got our serving tanks.
Uh-huh.
6 15-barrel, bright and shiny stainless steel tanks.
Wow.
That all our beer is served from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right there. It's right in your face. No mistaking it. How anybody could miss it, I don't know.
Okay. And so how often are you making new beers?
We are constantly striving to improve, and we're constantly brewing new products.
Okay.
I still, after a year and 4 months of being open, have not completely figured out what our core beers are, because we just go through beer so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real problem to have.
Can we talk about bacon-covered donuts, please?
Chris? Oh, please.
Watch this, Chris. One bite.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh, my God. That's
but these
awesome.
Are really yummy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Were you surprised by that when you started making the beer? I mean, did you think like people would be like, no, I like this one? Did you think you have more of a consensus from the community?
Well, given that I've been brewing in this town for 16 years, I've got quite a following.
Mm-hmm.
I was finished up working at another brewery that was out in Leesburg called Vintage Restaurant Brew Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my coming back home to Inside the Beltway and having all my fans come back and enjoy our products.
Okay.
So...
It's been fantastic. Better than expected.
No, we have to take a break, but when we come back, you guys have some events coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have music at your place, don't you?
Yep.
I'm eating with my mouth full. I'm talking with my mouth full.
You know, you can take the girl out of New Jersey, but you can't take the New Jersey out of the girl.
That's just how it works. All right, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. I think I'm more beast today than foodie. We are drinking cocktails, sipping beer, and snacking on some bacon. Yum. We'll be back in just a sec.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Get the business day started at Founding Farmers with a farm fresh breakfast and the perfect location for meetings of all types. Enjoy farm fresh eggs to order, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, our special waffles, a variety of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house made jams and jellies. Put some power into your day with free Wi-Fi, Intelligentsia coffees, and fresh hand squeezed juices. Located at 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Founding Farmers has breakfast ready from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekdays to help you get a jump start on the competition. See the menus and reserve today at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies. And your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We got all kinds of stuff going on in here. But before we get back to the show, I just want to thank the folks that support the show and help make it happen. Georgetown Bagelry, best bagels in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's the Two Rusticos, Evening Star, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Birch and Barley, Columbia Firehouse. All their great restaurants. The folks at Founding Farmers. Now there will be two.
There will be two.
The one downtown and the new one in Potomac in November.
And lots of honey.
And lots of honey. Mm-hmm. Our friends at Notte Bianchi, Dish, and Circle Bistro that are part of the Modus Hospitality Group.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers. And the folks at Bethesda Central Farm Market. And if you're listening, folks out there, if you're not a sponsor of this show, again, I don't want you to feel too bad, but you can always call me.
Well, and I also think it's really important to say that the Bethesda Central Farm Market just announced last week that they are going to be year-round.
They'll be open all year.
And they have so much going on there.
Sundays from 9 to 1 on Elm Street in Bethesda. They got 45 vendors now.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Amazing. It's great farmers.
All right, so let's get back to Gina and Owen because they are desperate to know who the winner is.
Put that food in your mouth and come stand up at the mic.
They're over there eating bacon-covered donuts from Mad Fox.
We're actually dipping the bacon donuts
in
the beer.
This is a good show. It's very ecumenical. Everybody gets together and snarps down everyone else's stuff.
All right, so before we announce...
They're delicious.
Before we announce our winner... Let's just, for those who don't know who you are, which I find really hard to believe, but Owen, give everybody a quick 411 of where they can find you and where they can taste your drinks.
Finding me is always tricky, but I do the bars for all of Jose Andres' restaurants.
Who?
So,
who's that? I don't know who that is.
You know, he's this guy, he makes some food sometimes.
You see him on TV every now and then.
He's on TV here and there.
People of America.
That's right. we're all over the place, including obviously in D.C. and then on the West Coast, so I bounce around a little bit.
Oh, that sounds really tough. And I just want to say for the record, it's T-H-O-M-S-O-N.
That's true. There's
because
no P in my last
name. Because when you Google your name, everybody puts the P in there.
They do. Even when you tell them not to, they just go right ahead.
They can't help themselves.
Owen, I want you to know, I didn't.
I didn't. I appreciate that. And so do my parents.
All right. So Owen Thompson with Think Food Group and Gina Tresorvani, where can we find you?
On
any given night.
PS7, 777 I Street.
Okay.
That's good, Pete, right?
It's yeah. very good. Give her a raise. Give her a raise.
Peter
give
Smith
her a raise.
Is home going. Thank God. All right. So All right. it's time to call this.
All right. This was really hard, as I'm sure you both know, because both of these flavors are right up my alley. But I am definitely, we did not agree. He liked one, and I liked the
other. I'm surprised.
She's
and
stupid.
I think just because of the weather and everything, I went with the warm one. I went with Owens.
Nice.
It just totally appealed to me. I could see myself just sipping it all day. It's a little scary, but really good.
And while Owen, I liked it a lot, I have to say that if anything ever happens to my marriage with Nikki, Gina, you're next. Mrs. Nellis, number 48. Yeah, I went with Gina's because I just like, you know, I like that kind of melted... What do we call this?
Icy. It's like a granita.
I know that. I know, but it's like those.
It's supposed to be like pear butter.
I know, but it's like the Hawaiian ices, and it does taste like pear, and it does taste like butter. It's like a sorbet. It's great. So,
it is.
So you split 1-1. So we're going to come over and punch both of you
right.
in the face.
It's a tie. It's a tie.
All right. Well, then it's going to be a good matchup.
Right. We cheers. Can't wait. Cheers, cheers, cheers. Good cheers. Job, guys. That
cheers,
was great,
everybody.
Great fun.
Do you know what? Just quickly, do you know what you're going to be mixing up there?
Well, can it's
you...
a secret.
Oh, it's a secret?
Oh, the secret ingredient we don't know, but it's three rounds.
Yeah. So
right.
We have some theories on our first and third drinks, I think, you know, because the third is whatever we want.
Because you have to come prepared. You need to bring your elixirs.
Well, we have.
We're always prepared.
You know, we're
going to
find out because Jill Collins, PR person extraordinaire, is out there in the hallway, and we're not going to let her out of here until she tells us.
Do you have, like, a doctor bag? Like, how do you come prepared?
Yeah, we have full, basically... Like chefs carry their knife kits, I have an entire bar on the go.
On the go bar.
Yep.
You must have lots of friends.
All right. Oh, yeah. Guys, thanks very much.
Thank
Let's get
you.
Bill Madden back up to the microphone. Bill's a traveling man from Mad Fox Brewery. Out in Falls Church. Bill, let's talk a little about the kitchen. You've got Russell Cunningham out there.
Yes.
Who is, how long has he been with you?
Since before we opened.
Okay.
Since the beginning. I think what's most important is to talk about, you guys do a lot of beer dinners. You got music coming in. So why don't you, for people who haven't had the opportunity yet to get out to you guys, tell us what you guys are doing and what we can expect.
Okay. Well, Thursday nights, we're developing our music program.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, my wife is working on that. I don't even know the names of the bands, unfortunately.
Well, can I introduce you to our chef, Johnny Moe, here?
Yes. Johnny Moe, the musical chef.
I was going to say, if you... You know what?
The word is that his band, Quad Pod, really cooks. So, thank you.
They're really hot.
Thank you very much.
And we're looking to also develop our Saturday night music program, which we haven't started just yet. So Saturday nights could work for you coming up here. Yeah. I don't know. Let's
do that. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Love it.
And it looks like New Year's, we're about to sign somebody pretty big.
Okay.
I think Tom Principato.
He's
okay.
A
local
yeah,
man yeah,
yeah.
Church.
Wow, very
yeah.
cool.
So we're very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Beer dinners?
His price just went up if you're about
I
to
know, I shouldn't have said
nice
that.
Going, pal.
I shouldn't have said that.
That's right.
then we also do beer dinners on mm-hmm. a fairly frequent basis. We try and get one up every couple of months. In August, we did a vegetarian beer dinner, which went up really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Most folks who came were so thankful that somebody actually did a beer dinner that
right.
their vegetarian wife or husband could enjoy and not have to pass off all the food. So that worked out really well. We
Gina's making
doing
a mess
again.
With your growlers. I'm just warning you. I'm watching
I
her behind
can't
you.
See
She's
what
like
they're
making
doing.
A mess with
I just
the growlers.
Keep hearing,
you didn't need any more.
Yeah, help yourself.
She plugged in. It looks it's, like she's just plugged in an intravenous
it's
unit.
Called Sunday on Foodie and the Beast. That is what it is called.
We do sell growlers to go, too.
All right,
oh,
so
you do?
Yes.
I want to hear about, there's an Angus beef dinner coming up.
Yes, coming up on the 26th. Martin's Farm out in mm-hmm. Plains, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Chef Russell went out there and toured the farm. Got to know the farmer there who's been farming and raising cows since 1970.
Wow.
Were there people then?
I was just born, so I don't really know.
So he's developing a beer dinner on the 26th that is going to be the counterpart to the vegetarian dinner, a beef and beer dinner.
Fabulous. So when you do these dinners, are you using just your beers or do you work with other beer companies? How do you make that happen?
Right now it's just our beers.
Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with
not
that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, no. We're very supportive of the local other mm-hmm. breweries that are around us. And in fact, we're doing a Cask Ale Week coming up November 4th through the 11th,
mm-hmm.
where we're bringing in local brewers to do their version of cask ales. We've shipped out...
For those who don't know what cask ales are, can you explain?
It's the English method of dispense. If anybody's traveled to the UK and you see those big hand pumps,
mm-hmm.
we have six of those behind our bar.
Fun.
And it's what existed before refrigeration came about.
So the casks in an English pub were kept in the basement, typically around 50 to 55 degrees, and the publican got tired of going up and down the stairs filling up pitchers to serve to the guests, such that they developed the hand pump, which basically is a displacement pump that pulls the beer up from the cellar.
So, wait, is a publican, is that the beer dispenser person? What is a publican, or is that a pub owner?
That's the pub owner. So that's what I call myself, actually.
Because we ate at Publican in Chicago, and
he
I never knew what the heck...
Publican or Publican?
Publican.
Publican. Yeah, we ate at Publican in Chicago, which is a beer-centric restaurant.
I'm actually... You know, you're never too old to learn.